All right, so we're going to do something different. Usually we have a moderator that sits right here, asks one or two questions and nods appropriately. But these three amigos, Ryan, you're the noob. Sorry, you're the new guy. But these three amigos have done this show, I think, for three years, right? If not more shows, over more years. But Mary and I are going to moderate kind of from the crowd. You'll be a fly on the wall during this discussion. We're going to start by having each gentleman introduce themselves to this crowd. And then we're going to kind of seed questions from the crowd. So please feel free, if we're talking on a subject up here that's of interest to you and you want to ask a question, by all means, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone over to you. So Thomas, I'm going to pick on you first.
Sure. Guy, are you feeling okay today?
I seem to remember you promising not to sing at a prep call.
Specifically promising that. So we didn't bring a backup band. We're very sorry. We're not quite sure what to do next. My name is Thomas Dilling. I work at Fox, and I work on analytics and planning and process, focusing on solutions for how we work and how to make it better.
I'm David Sugg. I work within the technology group at Warner Brothers. I oversee solutions architecture for content management distribution systems, as well as digital media engineering for the studio.
Jason Lambert, Sony Pictures, content licensing and metadata services. Our group's responsible for trying to monetize the archive at the end of distribution, so identifying clips, stills, photos, other assets that we can describe and distribute out and find new monetization opportunities.
Ryan McKay, I'm at Amazon Studios. I'm helping build out our cloud-based DAM and further automate our post workflows.
All right, guys. Oh, sorry, Thomas. I'm right here. I'm sorry.
I love it. The voice of God.
The voice of Guy, as we like to call it. All right, so this was very purposeful in a sense of this session's really setting up that concept of smart content, which is from inception to infinity. You all represent a piece of the chain, so to speak. But we really want to dig in and talk about how the emphasis and importance of data as it moves through these individual workflows, sometimes siloed, sometimes not, sometimes built, sometimes bought. That rhymes. That was not intentional. But ultimately, it's really about looking at the overarching picture and setting up this day of fine day. So we're going to touch on a lot of subjects. It'll be very quick, but away we go. That was the setup.
Well, a couple of us were talking just before, and we're talking about what's the goal of data. And I love how sexy data is. Like, obviously, if you're here, you think metadata is sexy. Yes, you sang with Guy, so obviously something's wrong with all of us. But we talked about the goals. What do you want to accomplish with the data? And so I guess my first question or thought for the rest of us is, what do you want to do? Because I think the challenges that we have with data is we are fascinated by the concept of data, and we are very poor about metricing data and what we want to happen. So that was my first thought.
I think adding on to that, we're all excited, or generally excited, about the opportunity that data presents, but without having a clear goal in mind and a clear understanding of what is the destination on the horizon that you at least want to start driving towards to begin with, just collecting data for collection of data's sake is you're not necessarily accomplishing something by that. It's figuring out, okay, well, what are the questions that my business needs to ask, and what are the problems that I'm hoping additional data can solve, and how do I start driving towards that as a process?
I think the obvious one is the business that you oversee at Fox, right? So the long tail monetization of content, right? It's a super simple
one. Or not at Fox.
Or, I'm sorry.
Sony,
Fox.
And we
Disney,
all work for Fox,
Warner,
ultimately, don't we?
We all change
and
sides.
I get busted.
And yes. I like how you let me just run with that.
I didn't want to interrupt
your
flow.
Not Fox.
Good job at Disney.
The other thing, you know, sort of another, at the other end of this, I was talking with a guy about this before we walked in. Another side of this is that data enabling a servicing of materials. So we have a very fundamental part of our business, right, that is just, I don't know, getting content to people. And we traditionally as an industry haven't done as great a job as we can, particularly now in the age of AI and machine learning, of creating feedback loops inside of our servicing systems that do things like take data about how we service materials. I've sent this title out 300 times and I've had zero rejections. Seems like a really good piece of data about the quality of that asset. And those kinds of feedback loops don't really exist inside of the tooling that we use today. And it's hard to make further than very simple sort of ideas about your data or about the materials from that. So machine learning and AI coming along is really giving us an opportunity to look at that data that we're creating just as a byproduct of what we do and turning it into metadata about the assets that we have.
Right, and I think, Ryan, so you are the earliest in the supply chain. Your background's post.
Yeah, we're really focused on delivery and distribution actually at this point. So maybe not the business end of it, but what kind of data can we assign to our assets and orchestrate like automated workflows off of that? You know, so if I have master files in my dam, they're all associated being masters, and I can then create a bunch of different deliverables from that automatically, rather than having a post house have to do a bunch of work.
Hey, Ryan. Can I ask you a favor, because it's offending my OCD? Can I have you sit to the right of Thomas so that we've got
right
two empty chairs on the side? I'm just thinking about the photos later and the data around it. Thank you so much. Sorry about that.
Is this my better side?
That is your better side. You know, this table in the back was like, I can't see you after behind the podium.
Perfect.
So we got to get your stage done. Well, it's interesting also when you talk about that, you know, you essentially just end cap the whole panel, right? The beginning and the quote-unquote end, right? Because in the old days, the end was the end, right? We basically got it done. Oh, it did this much in box office. It did this much in home entertainment. All right, we're going to sell it to TV. Sayonara, we're on to the next project. But when you talk about that feedback loop, my question is the data that gets captured at that beginning means something at the end, but we haven't really connected that thread. And I was curious if you guys could talk a little bit about it. Jason, in content licensing, I'm sure there's tons of clips that you would love to have identified that metadata, but you're ending up spending money to tag that stuff, right? Take, for instance, the song I did, right? There was a billion things in there. Somebody have to manually. So can we talk a little bit also about that through thread of data and what pieces are making it now, even if it's just a little kernel, and where we could go in the future around that?
So I have a thought. So you're describing throwable data, basically. I think the idea has been that you can create it and then toss it, and you just create it again when you need it. And the problem is that the business is moving so fast right now that we need the data far more frequently and far faster than
and
we ever thought
sooner.
We would. Right, and much earlier. So as the windows keep collapsing and as the rights keep expanding, you are throwing more and more content out there, and you don't always have that time and that luxury of creating data somewhere in the middle of the process.
In our business units, oftentimes they're still thinking in that throwaway recreate mode, right? I don't care about that data after I'm done with it.
Right.
And so, hey, that's great. Thanks.
Well, think about synopsis. So the favorite thing we used to make fun of is like how many synopsises or synopsi exist in the universe. Have you ever watched a movie's like lifespan from theatrical all the way out to by the time it gets to Tunisia? The synopsis changes, and there was this really funny story at a different studio where we were sitting in a meeting, or someone was sitting in a meeting, and they were talking about a rom-com horror movie. And in the course of an hour and a half, the synopsis changed so much that by the end of it, you sort of had a rom-com sad happy hour. It was, you just sort of, it's remarkable. And so the challenge is not only getting the data earlier, but respecting the data and not touching it again and again and again.
Yeah, create it once and let it live in your system, and that's where Tunisia gets it from, right?
Right.
Not from someone
exactly.
else.
Exactly.
It's an interesting problem, though, because you may create it that first time, but, boy, there are a lot of opinions about what that data should be later, even though you created it up front, right? And that's one of the challenges we, you know, are struggling with.
But how do you manage that challenge? I mean, is it all about communication to those various lines of business, to the people that are touching it, to try to impart upon them the value that you see in having that gold standard of what that synopsis is, for example?
I actually think this is one case where technology is actually catching up with the need in a way that makes a lot of sense versus us trying to solve problems and the technology being behind us. we are thinking about stuff through about the relationships of data being much more important in some senses than the data themselves. And so it's there's nothing wrong with a business unit having those different versions of those pieces of data, because we can do a much better job today of tying them all together, right? Which leads me to another thing that we've been spending a lot of time thinking about lately is this sort of universe of data around the servicing of a title. So we're spending a lot of time thinking about how do we collect all the data and relate it all together, not just the obvious stuff, the video and the audio and the elements that we service for that, but the all of the other ancillary materials, the master data, the imagery that needs to go along with it, all the metadata that needs to go together, and trying to create a much more holistic point of view about that data and how it lives together.
And when you have silos within various groups in the company, right, each of those silos has their own need for their marketing assets.
There are no silos. What are you talking about?
Maybe not at Fox. Or Sony.
Or Warner. Or Amazon.
But
certainly no silos at Amazon.
But
we have no silos.
But you have different stakeholders that have a specific need for their project, and if they wait for the enterprise to build a solution that's going to work for everyone, then they'll be waiting forever, right? So they have to build their solution for their particular needs. So I feel like the challenge, I know we see it in our group because we're at the very end of the chain and we're trying to figure out how to glue all these pieces together so that we can figure out what is licensable and what's not, and how can we add more value to a consumer's experience on this film or to an advertiser's leveraging of the brand, right? But I can't push back to production and say, hey, do your data like this, or collect this for me. But what I can do is try to plug into whatever it is that they've created and glue that stuff together, I think, as you're talking about, David. Like, how do
you got it. It's value. Okay, so if you walk into a capital projects presentation and you start with the word metadata, thank you, your budget was not approved. If you talk about the value and the revenue streams and what's going to happen downstream, then you have a fighting chance to actually get what you want. And it's interesting about data, because I think we talk about the fluidity of data, but we also, there is a set of data that really should stay, and that does live on for the permanency, and maybe it's the technical data for the assets, or maybe it's the, you know, very specific data on runtime and some of the other fields for that title or that episode. But then you have to build a system that's able to capture and incentivize the creation of that data.
And the 400 versions that we create,
right,
for a given feature film, no joke, I heard an interesting statistic the other day that said that back in the old days when we were doing 35, we were doing 40 versions of a film. We do 400 now because of digital. And so these are all creatively different versions. And so all the data we collect for that film times 40 versus times 400 gets scary.
I think for technical data, you can push back to production, though, and we should be building systems, you know, that capture it at that level. And then that's definitely the goal. At Amazon, yeah.
All right, so pushback or incentivize, combination of the hammer and the carrot?
Sure.
So there was a test a couple years ago, and we talked about it before, where a production company had two shows going at the same time. And so they incentivized the runners and the coordinators $10 for every piece of metadata that they got right for every episode. You would not believe how rich their data experiences was for that first one.
Brilliant.
The other episode was normal. They were given a mandate which just said, you must capture everything. And somewhere between that and the cup of coffee on the desk, they captured very little. And so it's interesting, for a very small amount of incentives and probably just a little bit of education, we can be so much more successful. Because what's the worst thing to do about data? Try to find it 5 years later. I dare you all to look in that Excel sheet and figure out what happened.
What Excel sheet?
Right. Oh, what? We don't run on Excel.
Can you expand on the incentive, you know, because that's something that we talked about a couple of years ago, right? Saying, well, why aren't we rewarding, you know, production companies, directors, producers, whatever, to, you know, in some way, like, oh, you deliver this with good data and you get a spiff or whatever it is, right? $10 a data, that's amazing. I can't.
So I have a cousin that just got a job in the mailroom at, I call it Williams and Sonoma, William Morris. And she's having a great time. And so she brought one of her big partners. And he's like, well, what do you do? And, you know, we're talking about distribution. He immediately started falling asleep. And I said, yes, but you could make so much more money for your talent if you did this and this and this, if they could enable it. And he perked right up. I think that there's two conversations. There's a practical on the road conversation you have to have about incentives, and there's an executive narrative that you have to be successful in talking about.
Anybody else incentivizing anybody in the studio to come up with better data? Bring that back.
We sing for them.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is so say the production does do that data. On the front end, you're going to have to hire somebody to bring it in, double check it, and make sure that it's all right, right? So you're shifting a little bit of the process to the front end, but ultimately it still requires people, right?
It does, but I think this is another area where the technology is actually starting to accelerate past where we are. There are tools that we're starting to see that focus on data quality and focus on capturing expert opinion and applying that through machine learning. Right? So the idea being, if I have somebody doing data entry or data curation, to be clear.
Did you say data entry?
I did.
Ooh.
I know, right? If I have somebody doing data curation and they actually correct a piece of data about a title, and they do that same sort of a correction over the course of a period of time on multiple titles, the systems can now learn from that and say, oh, by the way, we found these 300 records that have a problem that's very, very similar to what you're seeing, and surface those for you to work on, right? So these are things that are hugely accelerating this kind of process in the world today.
I think acceleration is the key word there, because it's not completely solving the problem. You still have to have a data curator. No matter, at least today, no matter how good your machine learning algorithms are, they're not replacing what that last line of defense that human data curator is doing. But you can get a jump start on what their tasks are going to be. You can start to identify, here are the hot points to look at in a file or in the data that you've received, so that they know what to focus on and what to fix. But you still have to have those people. And I feel like that's where sometimes these conversations about machine learning, AI, and we'll have lots of them today, sort of slip the rails, where we start to fall into this, well, it can't do everything, so I'm going to wait. Or
if you wait forever, basically then you have the garage sale in 10 years. And so now you've monetized your contest, and you've done VR, and you've done UHD, and you're in every media you wanted to be, and you have no idea what you're selling. Or you don't have the right data. I sort of love the fact that we have like a mix of new and very old content. So data is interesting to me for machine learning, partially because I think that we have an opportunity to do older content machine learning in a way that's a little bit more methodical, maybe. And then you have the opportunity to put it in the new content. What do you do with the recent stuff? Like, I know we talk about that. Like, how do you handle the things where the practices were so-so? They're not terrible. They're not great. What do you do in the middle? I love it. I made them all smile. Well, you have an okay. So I'll start kicking off my own answer. Okay, so if you think about the data, so we were joking about Excel sheets, right? So how many people in this room have an Excel sheet somewhere that has metadata on it? You all need to raise your hands. So that reality is potentially many, many years old. And so my favorite observation from that middle part, because for new stuff, there's an opportunity. You can incentivize and you can be right. And for the old stuff, you are using machine learning to power it through. But there's this weird middle ground where you almost have a structure, but not quite, which is almost worse than having no structure at all.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point. So it's one of the things that I'm fascinated by metadata acquisition, particularly in video, and how fast it's maturing, but it's not there yet, right? And so it works really great. I've seen some fantastic examples of some tooling that can look at a newscast and pull incredible data out of it. But then you throw a fantasy world at it, and it just collapses on itself because it doesn't know how to deal with orcs, or things like that, or Bane and Batman, right? It just doesn't. What?
Fanboy. Fanboy.
Oh, well, hey, dude, I got to solve problems, right? And my problems are fantasy worlds. But the other conversation that I keep having with these AI vendors is, I've got all this intermediate content that Thomas is talking about. It's not just Excel spreadsheets. In our world, it's scripts and spotting sheets and dub lists and all these other things that we create throughout the course of the production that can be tied to the video. And it can be done in this really interesting way where you can look at the video and decide that's the scene that's in the script. Oh, and by the way, this is the shooting script, so it has the director's notes on it. So now I've got this huge source of additional data. And that problem seems to baffle the AI companies right now. It really just, either they don't want to focus on it because it's not their sort of core competency, or they don't know how to solve the problem. But how do you take that intermediate data using the tools and mash it together to create some sort of, again, back to that sort of universe of data, right?
My favorite example, I saw a vendor demo Oculus, and that's not a plug, but it was just Oculus. And for anyone that can do VR, I can do it about 4 minutes, and then I fall over dizzy. But they were demoing data about Fox shows. And after this dizzying array of data, it was all very wonderful and great. I said, where did you get this? And he said, oh, we just pulled it off online and IMDb and every other place that you find data. I said, that's amazing. Do we have a contract with you? Nope. How did you get that? Da, 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 da. And they're going through it. I said, okay, so you've gotten all of this. Now what do you do? It looks amazing. It looked like Tron. It was super cool. It was VR. And I said, so what do you do with it? And he was like, isn't this an amazing visualization? Yes, I can see and feel your reality. Now what am I doing with it? I think that's the challenge that we have sometimes, where you get impressed by the tool and it's missing that logic behind it. What makes it smart?
The what are you going to do with it, or the, yeah. I certainly, in what we've been doing at Sony, there's been value in some of this data that we've collected in using it to feed the consumer experience. You know, what you described as far as being able to link the director's notes to, that's fanboy 101, like what you want to be able to do with those titles. The question that I ask, and that I think our other executives ask, is, okay, well, how much is that going to move the needle? And if it's not going to move the needle enough, then why are we going to do it? So the challenge I feel like we face in a lot of that is, okay, well, how can I find enough little needle moves that add up together that sort of all fit within that same, I want to be able to connect all these elements together so that I can solve a wide range of problems that might make consumer experience better, that might make workflows better, that might make the production decision-making process better. Like, how do you start to collect all those together to end up with, all right, here's the big needle move, so that you can start your conversation not with, hey, I got this great metadata idea, it's, I've got this great move the needle idea, it involves metadata. So I think is where you started.
So it's interesting, all right, so if I look in the room, you bring up a point about incremental versus big bang. If all of you were gonna hire a vendor tomorrow to do something with metadata, so quick show of hands, and the two choices, there are no wrong answers, this is not a psychological test, it's not recorded. Would you do an incremental piece-by-piece change, or do you prefer to wait and get everything at once? So incremental, raise your hand. All right, very good. You're rock stars. Big bang, we didn't wait till... All right, so big bang. Okay, so that's my question for you guys. What do you think?
Well, we're definitely incremental. Just, you know, we want to deploy and iterate so we can move that way. Some of these other challenges we're talking about up here, I'm more focused on technical, so you do kind of see larger needle moves, I think. Like when we talk about, you know, again, we're doing delivery right now, but if we think ahead to the future and can we capture technical metadata earlier and what can we do with it, then, you know, I can do big things like automate VFX pulls and say, hey, every production, you don't have to pay for VFX pulls now. Like that's a self-service thing that the vendors can do. And what does that mean for the budgets, you know? And same thing with, like, DI conform, automate the assembly there, you know? And I would say those are bigger needle moves, even though they're not that far away. I think the technical metadata part is a little bit of an easier challenge than...
What's your favorite piece of metadata? Your favorite. You have to pick one. You only get to carry one piece of data out of this room. What is it?
Source time code.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Amazing.
That's a good one.
Awesome.
I'm so confused right now.
Hey, one quick thing.
Not sure what happened.
All right, because you're talking about microservices, right? Essentially, instead of, you know, the big giant ball of wax. But it's also, you know, we focus on these what we think are important, right? Because we've dragged this legacy business up this digital hill, and this is what we think is important, right? But in the future, I mean, something as mundane as checking out props or checking out lights for a show, you know, the data disconnect on the big picture is critical. But once it all goes into this giant data lake, for you know, lack of a better term, right, across all these things, then we sort it out and we figure out what bits make a difference for each business unit or piece. But explaining that to the C-suite and getting them over that hump from an investment perspective when they're not going to see big returns, I mean, it's almost as bad as the old days of, you know, spending $1 billion with a vendor to try to digitize our workflows.
This is an interesting time because we're talking about the needle moves, and that's always the truth, right? So you always got to go for needle move. But there's also this, I think, recognition, at least in our industry, that there is a transformation going on. We hear it all the time. It's in every piece of news that's going out there. But I think that the leadership is accepting the fact that there's going to have to be some really fundamental shifts in the way that we think about delivering this stuff, and we have to do it better. And better in this case means better management, collection, and curation and delivery of data. So I'm actually finding the needle move always matters, but there's a little more appetite when I talk with folks to thinking about fundamental shifts that maybe don't immediately move the needle, but enable some huge kind of business down the road. And you can use your imagination to think about what those might be.
Yeah, and Guy, I got to challenge one of your points. So you said the legacy thing's pushing up the hill. The fact of the reality is that the legacy media is paying more than half the cost of keeping the lights on in the business. And I think there's something marvelous is that as we sit up here and we talk about data and everything that we need in the one piece that you're working out with, data's been around forever. And I love when you get into a room of people that are like 12 years old and they're like, oh my God, I have a digital media degree. And you're like, that's amazing.
I met that guy.
What does that mean? And they're like, I found a new concept. And they flip to page 42 and it's the glossary of metadata. And you're like, did you know that DVDs and Blu-rays always had metadata? That EDI existed before you were born? And it's sort of like, and I make a joke out of it, but there's a narrative here. And the narrative is, if you can link the new with the practices of the past, you actually can learn from it. Because these aren't new requirements. This is describing a thing. How do you describe the thing, and how do I get that thing to you to pay $14.99 or $19.99 or free?
Well. Mic drop.
Wait for you to drop the mic.
All right, so what's Warner doing? Jason?
I didn't quite follow the question. I'm sorry.
It was a rambling narrative. It's all
no,
good.
No, we like
metadata
that.
In many fields.
The thought that came to my mind with what you were talking about, and this may not be a direct correlation, but it's where I'm constantly going, right? Which is all of this data that ultimately we want to sell DVDs, Blu-rays, EST, etc. There's, you know, for my business, there's additional revenue streams that sort of branch off of that, but it's making sure that we've captured the right data to facilitate that up front. And to Guy, to your point, it's this idea of how do I just make sure that I'm not losing any data right now, right? So how do I make sure that whatever data the production is creating, even if I don't know what to do with it today, how do I just make sure that it goes somewhere so that I know that when I do need it, I can go back and get it, even if it is in an Excel spreadsheet. Like, I at least know where I can find it, because I think you know, if you can find it is something that you mentioned there a second ago. And a lot of times, we can't even find it. We had a particular project for our group for a commercial spot that aired during the Academy Awards, and the brand wanted to make sure that whatever product was featured in that clip was an authentic product. So it couldn't be a fake or a phony, like it needed to really be a product from that brand. And trying to find that information for a title that was from the 70s was a monumental task. That data existed. It existed on a piece of paper at that point. But for more recent productions, that middle ground you were talking about, or for current productions, like, that data is there. Like, we should be able to at least keep that data in a place where it's very easy to get to. Even if you don't know to ask that question yet.
I just saw a 70s film in my head as you're describing it. So what's worse, an empty field or bad data?
Bad data.
Bad data.
I would rather bad data.
Yeah, I would rather know that I don't know than think I know and have the wrong information.
That was very eloquent.
So do you think we'll see metadata capture people being deployed on set and stuff earlier to capture this kind of stuff?
Definitely.
Please.
God, what does that uniform look like? A metadata capture person. I just saw guns and a helmet. That's amazing.
By the way, what are we going to do with all those people with their digital media degrees? That's what we're going to do. Here you are. You're
with the data. Come with me.
I heard in the audience somebody said they exist already, and they do exist already to a degree, but I think to your point, like, is there somebody who becomes on set that person who's responsible, not just for the data that the production thinks is important, but for the data that's going to be important from start to finish?
If you told that person they would make $100 million off that data on that set in the course of their lifetime, damn well know they would capture the data.
We have 30 seconds, gentlemen. This half hour went by so quick, and I so appreciate your candor, your candidness, and just you guys being you. You want a quick, just a little twist? We didn't talk much about Infinity, except for at that last thing where we capture that data even if we don't know what to do with it. Do you feel, personally, do you feel that the ball is moving in the right direction? I think, and this is just a softball to close it on up, and we could just pop right down the panel and have everybody... Do you feel like we're making change and we're on the right track?
Certainly. I think that, the conversations we're going to have throughout the day today are going to illustrate that, and we're going to have moved quite a few miles down the track from where we were 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we had an event like this. The technology has made tremendous advances in the last couple of years with what machine learning can do. It's just a matter of us now figuring out, okay, how do we harness that into usable data that's going to feed feed answers to the questions that are actually important.
I think the technology, I agree, certainly the technology is evolving in a way that makes so much more sense for what we're trying to accomplish. This, the growth of graph databases and our ability to represent material more naturally versus trying to shove it into structured tables is so incredibly important and so completely missed by so many people in the industry, this move into this kind of point of view.
I think about what's the difference between a data lake and a data swamp. A data swamp is overgrown, it's organic, but it's sort of interesting because you're right, the rigidity of what we look for in data is we want to put it into a cell, we want to call it something, but actually you have to be fluid and you have to design systems that are successful at doing that. And I think the challenge for any of the machine and the tools and the kits that we're trying to implement are you have to have that flexibility initially to embrace the change that is coming, because data doesn't just sit, it is fluid and it's going to change. And if you build a system that only captures it once, you've built the wrong system.
Agreed.
Hey! That's it. The new guy closes it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to the panelists.
Thank you.
Give him a big round of applause. The four amigos.
No, you're fine.